Richard. Mike and his wife Claudia oversee our youth ministry, and we are team teaching this morning, so you don't have to listen to my voice the whole time. You okay with that, Mike?
I guess.
You guess. So you'll see the sermon title behind us, Prayer 101, and we'll just give you a really brief snapshot of why we're doing this morning. Are we launching a whole new series on prayer? We're not. Our plan is to devote this one morning to prayer. That's not enough, I understand that. But you may remember that it's been, what, about a month-ish ago that Mike, in sharing about the youth mission trip to NISM, challenged all of us, challenged the entire congregation to commit to taking 2 weeks of time and to spend 1 hour of prayer every day for 2 weeks. And I was really surprised and blessed as to how many people responded to Mike that they wanted to do that. They wanted him to hold them accountable. But coming out of that experience, as Mike and I were talking about that and debriefing, I had this sense that we need to come back to something and just say a little bit about what we've been talking about and just some of the conversations and some of the thoughts even you had as you were walking through that two-week process with various people.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
because I can't hear myself, but okay, that's okay. I don't always have my voice in my head, so that's a good thing. So there was a couple people asking, like, what does being in the presence of God mean? There was some people asking, well, how do you do that? Why do I do this? Is it even possible? What does it look like? Many questions about it, and they would have a lot of the answers, but they wouldn't have all of them. So I think that's kind of where we started talking about it and how just everybody doesn't have all the answers. So that's basically where it came from.
And so our desire this morning is just to take these few minutes that we have together and just go back to what we believe, and again, even what are the basics of prayer? You could probably talk for weeks and pick 100 different things to talk about. But we thought, let's just take a morning and really go back to the basics. For those, maybe for your experience thus far, you're early in your Christian life, and this whole thing of prayer is still a bit of a mystery to you. You envision, you know, someone, you know, on their knees, you know, chanting something or going to some place filled with candles or whatever, you know, and so our hope is actually twofold, that it can be helpful for you in your experience if this is kind of new to you, or it can be a challenge for you in your prayer life, regardless of how long you've been a Christian, or regardless of where your prayer life is at now. We're hoping that the Lord will use something that we share to challenge you or encourage you. So I'm gonna launch into this in the beginning. You'll see just a very skeletonized, whatever that word is, outline in your program, just a few words. So to start with, before we even get to that, is just a simple statement that I hope we all agree on, that as followers of Christ, we should pray. Prayer should be a part of our experience. Here's a very simple command from Scripture. Colossians 4:2 simply says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. So that's a command of Scripture. And so we look at that, and I say, okay, we're called to devote ourselves to prayer. What does the word devote mean? The word devote means to continue to do something with intense effort. So if you think devote yourself to prayer means, maybe like mealtime, I'll give thanks for my meal. You know, we'll pray at Christmas time, and if I get sick, I'll pray. It's more than that. The word devote means this continue, first of all, like this ongoing, diligent effort of prayer. So that's like our starting point. That's a command that we pray, that we devote ourselves to prayer. Jesus, in instructing his disciples, I don't think he spent a lot of time trying to convince them that they should pray. They were in a culture, in a religious environment where they knew that prayer was important. Jesus spent most of his effort, I believe, in showing them how to pray and being an example of prayer life. Mike is going to talk about this a little bit later when the disciples actually came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. And Mike is going to talk about what Jesus said in response to their question. The one final thing I would say, just in this very introductory way, I would say a good analogy for prayer for the Christian, if you take prayer and combine it with the Word, for the Christian, that is the equivalent of physical food and water. We all understand in our physical bodies, if you're not eating and if you're not drinking, you will not be living real long. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. If you're not eating, if you're not drinking, your physical life will come to an end. Or if you're not eating and if you're not drinking adequately, your physical life will exist in a state of weakened condition or weakness. The same is true in your spiritual life. If you are not praying, if prayer is not a part of your journey, and if the Word of God, and we're not focusing on that this morning, but if the Word of God and prayer is not a part of your journey, you will experience weakness. You will be in a broken state, because that is what you need. Those two things. There are more we could add to those lists, but there are two things.
And prayer is a necessity. I mean, that's what we really need to look at it as, not just something that we just do because of whatever reason, but if you look at it as a need, then it becomes like, okay, I actually need to do this, because then you understand it's actually part of the Christian walk and the Christian life. I have a quote from A.W. Tozer. He said, "The man who would truly know God must give time to him. It's a need. It's a necessity."
And that statement of truly knowing God leads into what I want to share. If we go to the what part, okay, what is prayer? Just share a couple things. Again, you could probably make a long list of what prayer is. But first of all, very simply, prayer is conversation with God. Now, some of you might say, but it doesn't really feel like conversation because it's one way. I feel like I'm doing the talking and God is not talking. It feels like an awkward conversation. I would say two things to that. First of all, in the very simplest form, again, if you combine prayer with the Word of God, this is God speaking and prayer is you speaking, okay? That's the simplest first thing. That's why you want them together. You want the Word of God and you want prayer, because this is the voice of God speaking to you, and then your prayers are you speaking to God. Having said that, I want to be quick to point out that prayer, however, just prayer in and of itself, should become a two-way conversation where it's not just you speaking, but you were also listening. And I'm sure we would have testimonies in the room of people that are seeking God in prayer, and it's not like they're using a lot of words. They know what's on their heart, and they just wait. They pray, they wait on the Lord, and God will speak to them in various ways. So it's a two-way conversation as we grow and mature in prayer. So simply, prayer is conversation with God. Secondly, prayer is partnership with God. Prayer is getting God involved in your circumstances, in your situation. And who wouldn't want to do that? Who wouldn't want to do that? You know, you want to get God involved. You want to bring God into your life, obviously, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ. So prayer is partnering with God. And then thirdly is, I would suggest prayer, the very act of praying. When you take a break in your day, you take a moment, you begin your day with prayer, that act in and of itself is an admission that you were in need of God's help, that there is something that you're seeking him for, that there is something beyond your ability. That's why we pray. I don't think I've ever prayed in my life. I don't think I've ever prayed, "God, I want you to help me tie my shoes tomorrow morning." Like, I know how to tie my shoes. I got that, okay? At least at this point in my life, I do. I know how to tie my shoes. I learned that as a child. And that's something that I have. I can handle that. But there's a long list of things in my life that are beyond me. They are above me. There are things that I would want to see happen, but I know that I can't bring them to pass. So I'm going to pray about them, because when I pray, it's an admission that I'm seeking God's help. Very simple, okay? So we have these three as a very basic things. Prayer is conversation. Prayer is partnership. Prayer is recognition of our own limits. So then we could go from what is prayer to why. I've already alluded to that a little bit, but just to bring a couple things more up here, if we ask why pray, The reason conversation is important with God, conversation deepens relationships. We get this, right? If I went around the room and asked those of you who are married about your dating experience, my guess is many of you would tell me about times of long conversations on the telephone. You know, there were telephones at a time when it wasn't like this. You actually held this device up to your head and you used your human voice to talk to one another, like really old-fashioned stuff. I was talking with a young woman this week who told me that when her now husband had their first date, they were at the restaurant for like 2 hours before they even thought to order food with the waitress. You know, it was a great start, and obviously it was a great start because they're now married. Conversation develops relationship. So if you feel far from God, if you feel far from God this morning, my question for you would be, are you talking to him? Are you conversing with him? It's very simple. It's very simple. It doesn't have to be big words. Some people are nervous about praying. Like, even by themselves, they're like, well, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't know what to say. It's simply conversation. You talk to God like you would talk to anybody else. I know some of us were raised in a culture where you had to pray formal language to God. I'm not knocking that, but personally for me, I don't get that. I don't think we should talk to God differently than we talk to anybody else. Same language, same words, same thoughts. It's simply conversation, and conversation builds relationship. Under partnership, partnership with God releases power. If I had something really heavy to move, I'm looking at it like, I can't move this myself, so I'll go to Mike, who's the moving expert, and I'll say, Mike, can you help me move this desk, this table, this whatever it is?
No.
That's probably what Mike would say. Oh. But assuming for a moment that Mike would actually agree to help me, by reaching out to Mike, I am actually releasing, in a sense, his power into my need, which is moving the desk or whatever it is. So when you partner with God, you are bringing the power of God into your situation. Very simple, right? But if you want to see things move in your life that you are not capable of on your own, prayer is the act of saying, God, I want you to be involved in this. I want you to be a part of this. I want you to help me. Obviously, God's power is limitless. So the ability of God to move and change situations is limitless. One other thing in that really quickly, not only are you releasing God's power for your life and your situation, you can release God's power into the lives of others. That's called, this might sound like a big religious word, but that's called intercession. When you pray, not just about yourself, but you pray for others. You say, Lord, I'm praying for my cousin, my brother, my sister, my neighbor, my coworker, and this is why. They need to know you. They're struggling financially. They're having a relational crisis. They're fighting a disease, whatever it is. You, through your prayer and through your faith, you are accessing God's power on behalf of someone else. So what a tremendous privilege it is to do that, and what a huge need it is across the world for people to be praying for one another. Yeah, so much more that we could say there. Again, we're just kind of touching on these important things. So it releases power. Edwin Harve, I think I'm pronouncing his last name right, he just simply said this, a day without prayer is a day without blessing. And a life without prayer is a life without power. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that? A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. If you are not praying, you are not accessing God's power in your situation, and you are trying to do it on your own. Prayerlessness is a form of pride, where we're like, hey, I got this, you know, I don't have time to pray, I'm not going to pray, whatever your line is that you would use. Prayer is accessing God's power. So finally then, that when I said, you know, what is prayer? Prayer is a recognition of our own limits, and that produces humility. Every time you come to God and you're admitting again, God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I don't know what to do. I can't handle this situation. I don't have the means of addressing A, B, or C, but I'm calling out to you. It's increasing our humility. And anything that keeps you humble before God is a blessing. It's a tremendous blessing. Pride in the presence of God is a not good thing at all. And so anything that keeps us humble. Mike is going to talk more about humility just a little bit later. So, very simple. What is prayer? Why pray? Some of those things. The other thing I would add yet, before I throw this over to Mike, is, and we talked about this when Mike made this challenge to the congregation, he challenged people to spend one day, or every day for 2 weeks, every day with spending an hour in prayer. I have got to assume that there were a number of people, when they heard that challenge, said to themselves, what? I don't have time for that. Like an hour. Where would I possibly find an hour in my schedule? I mean, look at any of you, your schedule. I imagine most of us in the room would say, that's not going to happen. Like from the time I get up in the morning till the time I go to bed at night, it's just go, 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 go. I have to go here. I have to do this. I have to do that. Mm-hmm. And did you have a conversation with people about that? Like I know you were dealing with the youth about that going up to the on the mission trip. But what other, like, were people sharing anything with you about actually finding that time or how they were finding that time or whether they were successful or not?
Yeah. It was funny. I think it was Sherwin that...
You're not supposed to name names. No, come on, Mike. Sorry, Sherwin.
No, Sherwin told somebody else that they should be a part of it. And that person was like, well, I'm actually not sure because I don't really have a lot of time. I don't know if I can do it. So, I mean, right there was an interaction where it was like, I'm not sure if I have enough time for that. And that was just one interaction. There was a couple others where they're like, I'm not sure. There was people that literally said, I'm too busy for that. There's other people that said it would be unproductive. It doesn't make any sense to do it that long. I can do 10 minutes. I can do 15 minutes. I can do 20 minutes. And basically my challenge kind of to them was different in every situation, but is God outside of time? Is he able to give you more time? And we'll probably talk about that a little bit later. But so there was definitely people that use that excuse because it's busy time all the time.
Yeah, sure. What I'm about to say, I apologize in advance, because if I was in your place and someone else was saying to me, I would hate having to listen to it because it would make me uncomfortable. But here it goes. Since I'm on the stage this morning, I feel compelled to say it, and I'm saying it to myself as much as to any of you. We make time for the things that we value. We make time for the things that we value, and we make time for the things that we find enjoyable. Do you agree with that? We make time for the things that we value. And I hate when someone uses this example. It drives me nuts. I'm like, I get that. I get that already. But someone will stand up front and say, well, you know, we always have time to eat, right? Yes, we do. We always have time to eat. I always find time to eat. Somehow, no matter how busy I am, I might work through lunch or something, but by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to make at least 10 minutes to eat something because my body is telling me it wants to eat something. And I value that. I also enjoy eating, so I make time for that. I know you're busy. I know we're all busy. But I think I am so challenged when you read just quotes or biographies from Christian leaders, current or previous, you know, who are no longer living, who have become great men and women of God. Martin Luther, for instance, I understand that he was quoted as saying that he is so busy, he has so much to do in a given day that he would never get it all done unless he would spend 3 hours a day in prayer. That was his secret to getting his work done. He would spend 3 hours a day in prayer. Now, again, like, okay, the fuses are kicking now in my head because that doesn't make sense. If someone is busy, you should decrease the amount of time you spend in prayer, right? It seems counterintuitive. It doesn't seem to make sense. But is it true that as you spend time with God, he will redeem the rest of your time so that now you find it more productive? You find things that maybe took you an hour, take you a half hour. Say, that doesn't make sense, Ron. How is that possible? Well, I have a hunch we would have a few testimonies in the room of people that would testify to that. We make time for the things that are that we value, and we make time for the things that we enjoy. And this, I think, should be a goal for all of us, that prayer falls in both of those camps. That prayer never becomes for us a chore, like, oh man, I'm going to get up early so I can, you know, force this hour of prayer into my day so I can get on with all the other stuff I have to do. Hopefully, we'll get to a point where we're like, this is so enjoyable, it's not a chore. I want to do this. I want to do this. And I will. I will make time for it. I'll value it. So I know we have challenges. We're too busy. You know, or like Mike said, prayer is not productive. Here's a Lancaster County challenge. We beat up ourselves as Lancaster Countyans sometimes, but we love getting things done. We love being productive. We have a good work ethic, and I'm thankful for all of those things. But if you're not careful, you can view prayer time as unproductive. You can say, I'm going to sit on this chair. I'm going to kneel on that floor. I'm going to walk around my neighborhood for an hour, and all I'm going to be doing is praying. I'm not going to check anything off my to-do list. I'm not going to be getting any work done. I'm just going to be like doing this other thing. It was John Wesley who says, God does nothing but by prayer and everything with it. What you can get accomplished through prayer is limitless. It's measureless what God can do through prayer. So, yeah, that's good. Mike, I'm gonna kick this over to you. There's one more point in your program about who, and our idea in including that was just simply, who is prayer for? Prayer is not for God's benefit. Prayer is for our benefit. God gives us the privilege of coming to him in prayer, and that's a huge blessing for us. So there you go.
I mean, the Bible even says that he knows the words and he knows our hearts before we speak, so why are we praying? It's really primarily, I believe, for us. So we're going to talk, I don't have to click this yet. So we're going to talk a little bit about the when should be next in your bulletin there. And this is, Ron was speaking, I just want to say, like, a lot of us know maybe most of this, but find the something in there that you're like, I really need to think about this, you know? And as we were preparing, I was like, wow, this is important. I should work on this. This is what the Bible says about this. I didn't really think about it that way before. So keep that in your head. So when should we do it? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says that we should pray without ceasing. So that is all the time. Without ceasing, all the time. So that's hard, probably. Raise your hand if you pray all the time without ever stopping. Raise your hand. There's no, like, holier than thous in here. Beautiful. All right, so we all have something to work on for that. That's good. So now let's dive into Daniel 6 and see another type of what we're seeing. Daniel 6:10 says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. This we see specific times that he is choosing, right? To me, this is more of an intimate prayer by choice. He is choosing, this is the time that I'm going to give to God, and I'm going to spend this time. The one before, all the time, is more casual. Like, I think of people that drive in their cars. Oh, I pray when I drive my car. To me, that's like, okay, you're trying to pray all the time. That's good. But are you doing that because, like, you have nothing else to do? Are you doing that because you're choosing it? Or is it just one of those parts of I'm trying to pray all the time? That's part of it. And I think there's a significant kind of difference in when we try to pray all the time and it's more of a casual prayer, talking to God like he's your friend, like he cares about you, like he's your dad. And there's times where you go to him and you talk to him more intimately. I'm really struggling with this. I really need your help with this. I really want to thank you for this because I'm so thankful for this. And sometimes in the casual conversation with God, it becomes like, not that it's not still good and important, but it becomes a little less intimate. So that's going to relate right into where, because we know that if you're praying all the time, it would be hard to choose a place to pray unceasingly, right? Now imagine if you're like, I'm going to pray all the time and I have to do it at the temple. I have to do it at the synagogue. I have to do it at the church. I have to do it in my closet. Well, then you become 24/7 in this one area, like, where you're just stuck there forever. I mean, pray without ceasing, and being in a spot is in that spot without ceasing, right? So to me, that kind of is like a dumb moment where it's like, well, God wants us to pray wherever we are, whatever situation we're in, whatever we're doing. In Acts 3 now, it says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. So Peter and John chose a place to go to for that specific time that they were going to give to God. That is important. I think that that is the choice that you're making to do that. You know, we're offering, as we heard earlier, Greg is going to be helping allow this to be open at a certain time. Maybe that could be something for you where, like, you know, I'm going to go give this time to God. I'm going to go pray about things. I'm going to go to this area and be specific about it. You know, like, this is what I'm going to go. This is what time I'm going, whether you're going in the morning or the afternoon. And give God that time and be more intimate about it. I think that when we're intentional, we'll see a couple different things happening. And when we're more casual, even in the same, and we're praying more often, we'll see more things happening. I think it's crazy sometimes when people say, I'm going to have my whole day and then I'm going to do my devotions at night right before I go to bed. The reason I say that is because I was that person, and that is okay, and I'm really sorry for everybody that does that at night. Just hear me out, all right? Because I'm sure that's 80% of us. Okay, anyway, so not to be offensive, but no. It's really weird to go through the whole day and you never really interact with God much, and you're like, okay, now I'm going to get my God time in, and you start reading and stuff, and he can show you stuff, cool things will happen, but you really didn't bring that through the rest of your day. You actually did the rest of your day without that, then you got that at the end, and then you went to sleep. And it's just this idea of, now, if you do your devotions, and, you know, this is specific time, if you do your specific time at the end, but you're casually praying and you're casually interacting with him all day, okay, that's a different story. But if you're the person that does all of your busyness all day long, and you're like, I'm going to make sure that I give God my last fruits at the end of the day, you might just want to check yourself and be like, why does he get the last thing that I'm doing and he's not involved in the rest of it? Okay, so now we're going to move to...
If I could just jump on there real quickly.
Sorry, Ron.
In relation to the prayer time, we're starting on Tuesday. People will say, and some of you may have said this to yourselves, I don't need to go to the church to pray. I can pray at home. Like, what's this thing about going to the church and going there mm-hmm. to pray? You can pray at home.
The question
is simply this. Will you? Because, hey, maybe no one else in the room is like this, but I am like this. This is confession time, okay? When I'm at home, there's a million other things that get my attention. Maybe none of you are like that, but I see things I need to do. I see a project I need to work on. I end up getting on the phone. I end up getting on the computer. So the question is, and I'm not saying it has to be the Tuesday thing, but this, what we're doing is we're making an opportunity for you to be intentional and say, one day a week, I'm going to actually carve out this time. I'm going to go to the church, and I'm just going to be in the sanctuary. I'm going to have some quiet time with God, a bigger block than maybe I'm able to afford some other days. So the specific time, I know a number of you have seen the movie that's in theaters right now, War Room. And part of that movie is about creating a space in your home, a closet or a small area that you view as your prayer area. Do you have to do that? No, you don't have to do that. But some people find intentional steps like that really helpful. So.
Yeah. And I totally agree. You do not have to go anywhere. But I think so many times, like, I'm glad Ron said, you know, I get on a phone call. Because how many times are you like, this is the time that I'm, and somebody calls you 5 minutes before that and they're talking to you for 3 hours. And it's like, you have to help them because you're trying to assist them in their life, they have some issues or whatever, and it's like, well, there goes that, maybe I'll get it in tomorrow. And it's like, that's why going away, maybe setting your phone aside for the moment and being, just trusting God, hello, whatever's going on, you know, handle it for an hour. And you'll see things like, you're not worrying about it, you're not thinking about this other stuff, and you're actually focusing on God, and that could be really beneficial. So we're going to talk about how. Now, when you see this, and read it as you're going. Actually, if you guys could all read it out loud together, like very religiously, that would be wonderful. So, ready? Our Father. Great. So if you guys could just say that every day, all the time, you're doing it. Just keep repeating it, and then you're done, right? Because this is how we're supposed to pray all the time. So just don't say anything else, and please just repeat this, and you will be awesome, and it'll be great. I actually don't think that's what God was trying to show us. What I do think he was trying to show us was the heart of the prayer. So that's why I highlighted some words. I think it's really important that we include the Father in our prayer. That we include God, because it's really not just a conversation with ourselves. So let's include God in it, that we understand that he is holy, that we understand that we're coming before a God that is very serious, very holy, and he has all the power in the world. Now, the attitude of your will to be done is saying, when you come and you ask God for things, because we all do, right? We all go and we ask God for things. I thought the baby was laughing at me. All right, so that's not funny. All right, so when we go, a lot of times we can be talking about our will. God, I really want this. I really want this. But we never turn it back over and say, but your will be done. Even Jesus himself said, take this cup before me. And then he goes, but let your will be done. He asked for something, but his heart was, in the end, that God, you'll still have your way. And so I think that's super important, no matter what we're praying for, that we bring it over back to God and say, but you have your way. Even if you feel like he's telling you, God, I feel like you're telling me this, but in case I could be wrong, because no human being in the whole world understands God 10 out of 10 times correctly, right? Can we all get an amen there? So let us turn it back over to him and be like, but your will be done if I'm misunderstanding you. Daily bread. Every day we should be praying, getting into our word. Those things are important. If we're not doing that, we're really lacking power that God wants to give to us and allow us to be allow it to be used through us. Now, this is where it gets a little difficult, because a lot of times we start praying for people that we hate, for them to just kind of run away and get out of your life and blah, blah, blah. And then we have to remind ourselves that that he will forgive us and that we will forgive them. The Bible is very clear about if we don't forgive them, he will not forgive us. So he has forgiven us of a lot. Now think about everything that you did before you came to Christ. Think about everything you've done since you came to Christ and that he still loves you. And think about the fact that he still forgives you. You are lucky, right? I am very lucky because I did not grow up in an awesome way where I was following God and doing everything that he wanted me to do, but he saved me from that. Really important that we want God to lead us and we don't want to lead him, okay? Very important in your prayer. God, lead us because we want what you want. We don't want to lead you into what we want. If that is your attitude, well, let's flip the script because that's not how it should be. And then we ask him to deliver us, because we know the attitude in this is not, God, you know, don't lead us into trials because that's horrible, and deliver us from evil because that's obviously not good. But it's really like, God, you have the power to deliver, and that should be your attitude, that God would give you the power to be able to do it, that he would actually go through with it.
The reference on there. I know many of you are familiar with that prayer. If you want to reread that or read the verses around, it's in Luke 11. That's where you'll find it. So you can just note that Luke 11 is where you'll find that, what's normally called the Lord's Prayer.
If you guys could grab Bibles right now, I would really appreciate that. And then if we could turn to 2 Chronicles together, chapter 7. We're going to spend a little bit of time here. This will be the bulkiest part of what I'm going to say. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. I'm going to read the ESV version. But it says, "If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." So what we're going to be talking about, we're going to continue on the attitude of prayer, and I'm going to break it down how I believe that this verse is really telling us how it is important to be praying. Now, it starts out, it says, "If my people who are called by my name," that is your identity, right? If you are called by his name, that's your identity. So that's where it starts. We have to be humble. We have to have humility. It says humble themselves. What humble isn't is in this verse, it says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others." So the opposite of humble would be you doing it for yourself or for others? Is that why you're doing it? Are you doing it because you want to hear from God and you want to seek him? Clearly, part of prayer is praying, right? And seeking God. Are you seeking your own stuff? Or are you seeking God? What seeking is not is that is you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You're asking for stuff for yourself, and that's not what God is looking for. When you're seeking God, this is not what you're doing. You are seeking him and what he wants for you. You're submitting it back over to his will. And then the last thing is turn. So we see that this is how the verse kind of happened in order that way. And at the end when it says, let me make sure I got it right. In the end when it talks about turn, it says that you're seeking his face and you're turning from their wicked ways or your wicked ways. So let's break it down. My opinion is that identity comes before you really start praying. Identity is you entering in. This is how you enter in. This is your ticket. When you're identified by God, you kind of have this ticket to walk into the stadium and begin.
If I could say real quickly there, sorry.
You always scare me. I'm like,
Some people ask the question, does God answer the prayer of sinners? People that do not have the identity of a Christian, they've not accepted Christ. I believe absolutely it does. I mean, all of us at one point were sinners that cried out for God's grace and he answered our prayer. But this is so important. Our identity in Christ really is the relationship that our prayer is rooted in. And it's where we get our authority and confidence in praying for him. So
yeah. And the identity in Christ, when I break these up, it doesn't mean that the identity has to happen 3 years before you start doing this or whatever. It could be really instant. It could be like you have this heart, you want to turn, you want to go towards God, and then you want to learn, and you can start praying. It's not like you could pray without being identified, and he could hear you, and he could answer a prayer. But this is how we should try to pray, and this is the attitude of that prayer. So in the midst of it is the fact that we're praying, we're trying to be humble, and we're seeking his face. So when you're praying, this is what you should be doing. You should actually be praying, seeking his face, and being humble. Now, with turning, what I wrote here is this is the result. Now, I don't want this to be misinterpreted or misunderstood. The heart of the issue should get changed in the midst of the prayer. But we should see the manifestations of the turning afterwards. Mm-hmm. So the result of it, we should see change. If we are seeking God's face, if we're praying, and if we're humble, we're going to see him change our life. We're going to see a result out of that.
That's clear in the prayer of Jesus in the garden when he said, he went through that whole dialogue with the Father. It's clear that his decision to go through with this submissively was made in the garden. What happened after that, the beating and the mocking and the crucifixion, that was all settled in his heart back at the place of prayer, but he walked it out then. That was the result of that prayer.
To go back to the two that it weren't, just to reflect on them, to go and to be praying in front of people is okay. I don't want to say that you can't pray in front of anybody. That's not the point. The point is where is your heart? Is your heart in, I want other people to see how holy I am, how spiritual I am, how good of a Christian I am? Do I want them to look at me for whatever reason? Or is it really like, hey, you're praying in the streets because God's calling you to pray for people? Like, it's a heart thing. You can see the two same things happening, but God sees the heart of the issue, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking a lot about the heart. You know, we're not trying to line up, you know, religious guidelines of how to pray and what to do. We're actually trying to look into the Bible and see what the Bible says prayer looks like, and let's see what the concept is, and let's see what the attitude of prayer is. You know, so this is a concept of prayer that I would consider that we're looking at, or the attitude. And the second one in James, as we said, it says that you ask and you do not receive. So maybe if you're asking and you're not receiving an answer, it doesn't mean that God doesn't care about you. It doesn't mean that he doesn't want to answer you. It really means you might be asking for your own passions to be done. Are you turning it back over to his will and saying, will you have your way? I think that's really the heart of what we're trying to get at. Another quote that I have is, the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work with us. Mm. So many times we go through stuff, there's pain, there's illness, there's broken bones, there's death, there's all sorts of stuff that we can go through. And it's like, are we just praying for stuff to get healed and then it doesn't happen? Or are we just praying for certain things and it doesn't happen? We may be interfering because of our attitude and because of our heart against what God is really trying to do. That God understands that he has better ways, higher ways, that he has a way of doing the things that he's doing, and that if we could kind of seek that and be like, all right, God, why are you doing this? And put it into retrospect and kind of be like, God, what are you trying to do in me, through me, and in this community? We might see ourselves look at things much, much different, and we might start looking through different lenses, and it might be beneficial. Because when you're looking through your own lens, it kind of gets a little hazy sometimes, and you're like, but Lord, I know all things, and this does not look good. And then the Lord's like, you know nothing. So just always turn it back to him, and let him show you that he actually knows more than you. And when he proves it to you time and time again, then you'd be like, all right, God. And when he doesn't, remember he is your father, and he says, because I said so. That's really the truth, you know? If your dad says, go clean your bedroom, and you say, no, well, I could if you told me why. And then dad says, because I said so. That should be all that child needs, because daddy said so. Right. He brought me into this world, and he can take me out. I'm going to go clean my room. So.
Okay. You're at the end of your notes. I'm at the end of my notes.
I'm at the end of myself.
No, you're not. You're not. Well, it's good if you're at the end of yourself, because then you're at a place of prayer. So, again, like a simple overview this morning, and our hope was that you would be instructed, perhaps, maybe some of this was new to you, new thought to you. I think for many of you, perhaps you've heard this, some of you 100 times already. But hopefully in hearing it again, you have been challenged about your prayer life. Again, if you read through history and you read about people that have really made a difference for God, I believe without exception, you will be reading about people who had a very significant prayer life and who were very well aware all the time that they were so dependent on God that they had to pray to him, they had to cry out to him, because without doing that, they were hopeless. So I guess the sort of the closing challenge, and you can add to it what you will, Mike, but our question would simply be, where are you right now in your prayer life? Like, maybe this is something you're just not doing. Say, you know what? I've just been busy. I've not really been taking it seriously. I pray like very sporadically every now and then. If that's where you are this morning, God loves you. God loves you just as much as he loves Mike Richard, you know? But yes, he does.
Impossible.
What's the next step for you? I'm going to challenge you this morning with the statement I made earlier, and again, this is as much of a challenge for me as it is for anybody else, but we make time for the things that we value. So I would ask you to take that to the Lord and just sit down and look at your schedule and say, look, this is valuable. If I want to move forward my Christian life, I have got to make time for prayer. Not out of some religious duty because Ron or Mike said so, but because I want to grow. I want to grow in my relationship with the Lord. I want to see the Lord moving and working in my life. So what's the next step for you? What will that look like? I would challenge you, if you are not praying daily, that would be the first step. I don't know how long of a time, maybe an hour for you is just like inconceivable, but can you at least look at your schedule and say, there will be a time every day, there will be a time every day where I'm going to stop what I'm doing and I'm going to pray. That might be the first step for you. For you, maybe it is to block out or to sacrifice something that when you're really candid about your schedule, you say, you know what? I hate to admit it, but I do spend about X number of minutes a day on Facebook.
YouTube, Facebook.
In the newspaper, reading the news. Websites. Doing whatever. And yeah, I hate when the guy up front talks like that because it's like, just leave me alone, okay? But look at your schedule. Maybe the Lord is saying, look, I want some of that time. And he's not saying it angrily. Just imagine the Lord saying to you, I want to spend more time with you. I want to get to know you. I want to get to know you more. I want you to know me more. And the way to do that is conversation. So how can we spend more time together? I can hear the Lord saying that to each of you right now. How can we spend more time together? I want to get to know you more, and I want you to know me more. I mean, obviously the Lord knows everything about you, but that conversation between the two of you will be an increase of relationship. From there on out, you fill in the blanks. Like, what is the next step for you in your prayer life? I know there are some of you who are very faithful in prayer. Maybe the Lord's calling you to a new step, a new focus, something. Obviously, we're trusting the Holy Spirit to fill in those blanks for you.
If I can add something, I think Jesus is an incredible example of what prayer should look like, not just because he prayed in the way he prayed, but think about it. He was God, and he still needed to pray. That blows my mind. Like, he could have done whatever he wanted. He had legions of angels at his hand, whatever he could snap, and it'd be like, bam, it's over, whatever. And he prayed constantly, and he did all sorts of things. In Hebrews 5, it says, in the days of his flesh, like when he was here, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Like, this is Jesus. He's not just like, you guys know how you when you pray for your food, what it usually sounds like, a super monotone, and you're like, Lord, thank you for this food. We pray that it'll bless to our bodies. I pray that this grease would go away as it goes down my esophagus into my stomach. And God, that somehow I'd get some nourishment. Amen. And it's like, Jesus prayed with such emotion because he was really connected to the Father. If we could get to a point where when we're talking to God, it's not as monotone and it's more emotionally involved, you will see something happening where it's like, wow, this is like a real relationship. We're actually really conversing. I feel like he's really listening. He's really speaking back to me. And I think that's really important. Like, just remember, Jesus had to talk to the Father. Why do we not have to? I don't care how good your life is. I don't care how well your business is or how well your job is or, you know, your kids aren't sick. Everything's good. You know, you live on the house on the prairie type home. I don't care. But you should be at least, if nothing else, thanking God for everything that he has given you constantly. Because in the snap of his finger, he could be like, okay, you don't need this anymore because you need a big trial because obviously you don't want to talk to me. So not to scare you into that, but honestly, like, learn how to be thankful because God has given you a lot. Living in the United States alone, no matter how poor you are, how rich you are much more well off than many other people in the world. Just look at the news for 10 minutes and you'll be like, yes, that's true. You know? So, yeah.
Be practical. Some people find prayer, making a list, writing down a list, is helpful. Like, I'm probably the only one in the room that's done this also. But I will say to someone, I want to pray for you this week because I know you're going through this situation. And guess what happens? Saturday of that week comes and I realize I have failed to pray for that person. I'm sure none of you have ever done that, but I have done that. And, you know, different people develop different systems of writing notes, writing a list. I want to pray for this person every day. I want to pray for this person every week, you know. And that might not sound super spiritual or super spirit-led, but that is very powerful because it's a practical tool. So that can be another thing that you'd be challenged with. So, so I think, you know, I think unless you had something else, I think we're going to wrap up there. again, Tuesday we start with the twice a week prayer time here that's both on Tuesday, early in the morning from 6 to 8, and then again in the evening from 6 to 8. Even being practical there, like maybe if you're a mom at home with little kids, maybe husband, you can come alongside and say, you know what, honey, I know you are busy all day long with the kids, but we're going to start a new thing. Every Tuesday evening, I'm going to make sure I'm home to watch the little ones so you can go to the church and just breathe. Just lay on the chairs and fall asleep. I don't care what you do. Just get some time to breathe. Or maybe it's, you know, some another family member or whatever. You know, it's limitless how you can use this time that we're making available. So, okay, let's stand. We're going to, Mike, pray a blessing over us. And we'll be up here to talk if you want to talk or pray. But yeah, thanks for joining us today. It was good having you here. So pray for us, Mike.
Okay. Lord, we just come to you to start a conversation now as a community, as a congregation. Asking you to speak to us, God, that you would convict us to spend more time with you in prayer, God, that we would find time to talk to you in an intimate, specific way, but also that we would try to talk to you all the time in all situations, even when we can't run away and be all alone. Sometimes we have kids that are hanging around, sometimes we have family members, sometimes we just can't get alone at all, but God, you're still there. So God, I ask that we would entertain the fact that you are there by talking to you, receiving from you, hearing from you. God, I ask that you would help us to be the people that you want us to be, that would glorify your name, that would give you all honor, and that would really, truly shine bright like a diamond. And we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Shine bright like a diamond.
I didn't get that.
It's a song that I can't believe just came out of my mouth.